All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Everybody, good morning. Welcome to another episode of Dropping the Gloves. Thanks for joining us here. Beautiful Wednesday morning. Tim, how you doing in North Carolina?
Yeah, I'm good. It's chilly today. Chilly and overcast. I feel like I'm in Michigan, but it's kind of nice. Rather that than 100 degrees, which we'll get to pretty soon.
What's chilly for you?
66.
Oh, gosh. That's funny.
But 66 and cloudy, and yeah, it feels chilly.
You've changed. It's 50 here and it's sunny and I'm like, poof, shorts and t-shirt, let's go. But yeah. Good. I'm glad to see you're bundled up. You're nice and warm. You're not going to die on us, because there's a lot to talk about. We got to get into it. But first, Tim, I just want to give a shout out to Bet365. This episode is brought to you by Bet365. They're the proud partner of Dropping the Gloves. Open an account today with Bet365 and bet on a huge range of markets. So whatever the sport, hockey preferably, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary, Tim, at Bet365. Use code HockeyCA. That's available everywhere, not just USA. So HockeyCA, get in on Bet365, have some fun, make some money, or lose some money. Probably lose some, hopefully win more. You know what I mean, Tim? That's what you do.
That's what it works.
That's how it works. All right, moving on. We had some games last night, and thank goodness for NHL hockey, because it would have just been a boring night. But I got to watch two fantastic hockey games that start with the one out west. Didn't end till like 1 a.m. It was a long game, but it was worth it, because what a barn burner at the end. The Oilers Canucks just putting on a show. But before we get into the actual game, there was a drama before the game. Carson Soucy got suspended one game. Huge mistake by George Parros in my eyes. Undeserved suspension. Yes, he cross-checks Connor McDavid, but it wasn't his intent. He didn't mean to do it. He just cross-checked a guy in the chest, and McDavid's falling into his stick. I don't think it should have been a suspension. I feel like the league got pressured into it. And you know who else feels that way? Friend of the show, Nikita Zadorov. He's not one to mix his words. He's not one to pull punches. He calls it as he sees it. So he's getting interviewed before the game, and he says, quote, "The NHL, they have to protect their investment. That's my understanding." End quote. Pretty telling. Straightforward. Connor McDavid is the face of the NHL. And you need that guy out there. You need him healthy. You need him performing. So when you want to protect your investment, you send a message. You suspend a guy who hits him. And that's what they did. And it was funny, later on in that interview, Nikita Zadorov has stitches on his eye. And one of the reporters asks him, "You have stitches on your eye from a Zach Hyman cross check. Is there any issue there?" And he goes, "I guess I don't make him that much money." Huh. Very funny stuff. Nikita Zadorov, he calls it as he sees it. And I agree with him. He gets cross checked in the face by Zach Hyman, stitches on the eye, nothing. No fine, no suspension, no penalty, no anything. Connor McDavid takes a cross check in the face. It was a hard cross check. Don't get me wrong. But you have to read the room and understand the situation. Not the intent of Soucy. Does get him. He has to be responsible for his stick. But if you're cross-checking someone in the chest and they lower their face, what are you going to do? Whether they wanted to lower it on their own or they got pushed, what are you going to do? He gets one game. Huge implications on this game. We'll get to that in a second. The replacement, Noah Juulsen, huge factor in one of Edmonton's goals. So what do you think of Zaddy? Oh, Zaddy, by the way, got fined $5,000, which is so stupid. These guys make millions upon millions upon millions of dollars, and he gets fined $5,000. Do you understand how ludicrous that is for a guy to get fined $5,000? It's the equivalent, Tim. How much do you make a year? Tell me right now.
I'm not going to tell you that. I know it's not a lot of money to them, but it is the max under the CBA, the $5,000.
Which is good on the players for getting the max to be $5,000. Because you see what the NBA guys get fined? No. There was a guy from Minnesota. I want to say it was their center. So they have Karl Anthony Towns and they have Rudy Gobert. He got fined $75,000 for criticizing the officials. And mind you, those guys make a lot more than hockey players. But Zadorov makes $3.75 million. My highest paycheck, I think, was $800,000. That's a fourth of the Zadorov. When I was making $800,000, $850K, I was pulling in almost $30K every 2 weeks. Times that by four, he's pulling in $120,000 every 2 weeks. Every 2 weeks for the season. It's prorated. You don't get paid in the summer. You think $5,000 he's going to care? That guy's got belts that are worth more than $5,000. Could care less. I've been shopping with Nikita. He's got some nice stuff. So it's laughable, the 5K suspension. So the players, they don't give a damn about that. But what were your thoughts, A, on the suspension, and B, on Zadorov's comments?
Yeah, I'll start with the comments. I liked it, obviously. It's funny. He's poking fun at the league and saying, well, you're only calling this because he's Connor McDavid. But he's also poking at McDavid. So, like, the implication here is that you're a player that needs to be protected. But the league, if the league doesn't step in, then the Oilers didn't step up either. Your best player, the face of the franchise, gets cross-checked in the face and no one did anything about it. And most of them saw it. They were all right there. So I think he's criticizing more than just the league with that comment. And I like him. He shoots from the hip. I also agreed with the one-game suspension. That's what I said it should be.
Oh, you're such a
I understand. I understand your logic and your reasoning, and you're not wrong. I don't know if the intent was there, but at the end of the day, you're responsible for what you do with your stick. You cross-check someone in the face, you get a game for it.
I'm responsible. He was being responsible with his stick. How can he be responsible for McDavid's face? So now I have to anticipate what everybody's doing with their face?
John, he cross-checked him in the face.
In the chest.
No.
And McDavid's face filled that void where his chest used to be.
I get it. I don't think the intent was there, but he still did it. So
now we're going to see guys during scrums all of a sudden dropping to their knees so they can get cross-checked in the face. It's a slippery slope, Tim. It's a very slippery slope. Oh, boy. But on to the game. Big decision coming into this game by head coach Chris Knobloch. His first real decision of this postseason and probably his tenure as an Edmonton Oilers coach. Who to start in net? Game 4, second round in the Western Conference. His starting goalie throughout the season, Stuart Skinner, has been playing pretty bad. And he went with the backup, Calvin Picard. Good choice, bad choice, Tim? What are your thoughts?
It was a bold choice. For bold starter. Move,
Cotton. I just watched Dodgeball last night. I was painting trim and I had it on. It's so funny. It's such a great movie. Yeah. Anyways.
It was a bold choice because Skinner has been your guy the entire season. He's been your guy in this postseason. He did win you he was part of the reason you won the first series. And he's also, this is the stat that Wyshynski pulled out. He's 9-1 after losses in his last 10 games. So whenever he loses, he bounces back and gets a win most of the time.
Skinner. Yeah.
Skinner. Yeah. So that's like, you know, the data says he's going to bounce back and get you a win in game 4. But at the end of the day, he wasn't playing well enough. And I think what it does, it also sends a message to the team in front of him and how you play, in that we need to step up. And if you don't play well, you could be the next one who gets, you know, cut or benched or whatever. So it was a bold decision, and it turns out it paid off. He didn't have to make a ton of huge saves. He didn't have to do like a 30-40 save performance. I think he made 19 saves on the night. But it was good enough to get the win, and he's probably going to be the starter for game 5.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere. And there's a difference between benching Stuart Skinner and what the Winnipeg Jets did with Connor Hellebuck. There's a class differential there. Stuart Skinner is not an all-star caliber goaltender. He has been playing well all playoffs, really. Like, he's a good goaltender who's been stopping the pucks he should stop, but this series, he's been bad. So I like the move. Calvin Pickard is not a fantastic goalie. I think someone mentioned during the broadcast he's played for a bunch of teams. He's been in the AHL a long time. It's funny, both of these guys probably should be AHL goaltenders just at this point in their careers. But injuries, bad goaltending, lack of depth in that position on the team, Edmonton specifically, they're thrust into the starting role, and he played well. Didn't play great. Played pretty good, though. Let's get to the game. Edmonton comes out, obviously scores a power play goal. And by the way, can the Vancouver Canucks just keep a guy on Leon Draisaitl on the power play? I feel like he's scored this goal every single game. Sharp angle shot, and he gets a pass from McDavid. Shelovs, is at a position because he's got to play the shot from the slot, and Draisaitl has all day to, you know, pick a corner from an insane angle. So great first goal, but they get on the board earlier. The power play is lethal. As you've said, Tim, you're one of the only people who notices this. They have a very good power play.
Really stuck my neck out on that one.
It's outrageous, the predictions. And they're coming true. They have a good power play. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins gets a goal at the end of the second period. Rick Tocchet said in his post-game press conference, that was a heartbreaker. That was a backbreaker. That's a tough one. You have a terrible first period. You have a somewhat better second period, setting yourself up for a good third, which you've had throughout this series, and you give up that goal to Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. So that one they might want back. Rick Tocchet not happy about it. Going into the third period, not going the way you wanted for the Vancouver Canucks, but you string together some shifts in front of the show, Connor Garland. Guy's like a dog on a bone. He's so incredibly just energetic on the forecheck and the D zone. He buzzes around the ice. He gets them within one. Very good. And third period's closing out. You pull the goalie, and the Edmonton Oiler killer, Brock Besser, takes a shot on net. Dakota Johnson picks up, what was it, a rebound or a tip? I can't remember the case, but they tie it with the empty net. We're going to overtime. This is fantastic. The whole building is silent. Like, what just happened here? We dominated this game. Now we got to go to overtime. I don't want to do this. Hold the phone. Stay in your seats. Evan Bouchard, about, what was it, 39 seconds left, throws a floater in from the point through traffic. Oilers win the game. What a joke of an ending in my eyes. I think Vancouver had tied it up, and they just already looking overtime. That last shift, there was three or four turnovers, a couple soft plays. Rick Tocchet, again, I said it in his post-game press conference, not happy, especially on that last shift. He said five guys made mistakes. Five guys were just soft. They weren't playing hard. So you think the Oilers deserve this win, Tim?
I'll say yeah, because they got it. And I think they did play better in front of Pickard, which I was just thinking while you were talking. It's strange. Like, these are the two best Canadian teams left, obviously, in the entire league. And they both have great offenses, great defenses, and they're both playing third-string goalies, right? You know, like, I mean, and they're playing pretty well, these two kids. But, like, it's strange that, you know, the discourse online is, like, Connor McDavid's going to ask for a trade, or he's not going to come back because he still hasn't played a goalie. And their goalies are healthy, and they're bringing up the third. Cause that's what they need. Like, that's so frustrating. Back to Tocchet. I like when coaches call out their guys in the right moments. Like, there is a time and place to do it. I think blowing a lead in the playoffs is the time and place to do it. To, like, let that moment slip through your fingers, call out your guys. It's different from, like, the torch stuff in the regular season. But I love what Tocchet had to say.
Yeah, and he's talking about Makiev, Pedersen, Lafferty. I think P.S. Suter's probably involved in there. I don't think it's a third line. Lindholm, Joshua, and Garland's been their best line by far. But he said eight guys on our team are not playing well. And that goes for the back end, too. I think you have to throw Tyler Myers in there. I think you throw Ian Cole in there. There is a lot to be, you know, had with this team. And what we've seen they can do, they have to play better. And the fact that they aren't playing good and they're still taking the Edmonton Oilers down to the wire has to make Chris Knobloch worried. It has to make the Edmonton Oilers worried. You're going back to Vancouver. This is exactly what Vancouver wanted. You're holding court 2-2. You have home ice advantage. It's the best of three. I like their chances. That being said, is Connor McDavid ever going to wake up? And I'm being serious here. They're bottling him up. He's getting his space. It's fun to watch him. You know, the bursts through the neutral zone. He's got that incredible speed. Everybody's oohs and ahs. And then it just flutters out at the net. He can't do anything. He just kind of runs out of room. Are we going to see that 5-point game from Connor McDavid that we've grown accustomed to in the playoffs, especially last year? He was lights out. He was incredible. Hasn't happened. Yes, I know. Is he still leading the league in points? He must be.
Or second, yeah.
He still gets his points, but we haven't seen that next level that we're used to seeing. Are teams just figuring him out, Tim?
No. I think you have to give him credit for what they've done. He still had a four-point game in game two earlier this week. So I feel like that's sort of it's imminent. You know, he's due for that in games five or six. I think he'll have another night like that. I don't think you figured him out. I don't think you can figure him out because you know what he's going to do. He's got the speed and skill to beat you anyway, even if you know what's going to happen. But I think you have to give credit to what they've done to limit his opportunities and limit his ability to score. He has one goal in this series through four games, but he's still got 1, 2, 3, 6 points. So he's still getting his. It's just a matter of keeping him out of the net. And then, you know, like you said, even if you do that, you still got to worry about Draisaitl. You still got to worry about Hyman and Evander and all that other stuff. Did you see Evander's cross-check, by the way?
You don't have to worry about Evander. That guy sucks, okay?
He's brutal. You see his hit on Tyler Myers?
I cross-checked
him right in the face. And someone said he's hoping to be suspended because he can't afford a fine.
That's so funny. You don't get paid in the playoffs. That's really funny. If I'm the Canucks, and this is funny how it's working in the playoffs, where there seems to be one team that's dominating the special teams in each series. And one team that just can't figure it out. The Oilers are dominating special teams. The Canucks just can't figure it out for whatever reason. So if I'm them, I keep it 5-on-5. That's how you win this series. The Oilers are getting the majority of their chances, 5-on-4, 6-on-5, whatever the odd man advantage is. So just keep it even, man, and you'll be fine. But that's hard to do in the playoffs. Even the Canucks, they had a 4-minute power play. They didn't get anything. Nothing. So that'll be a big issue for them, is just either A, figure out your power play. You got to work. People think you get on the power play and you can just take it easy. No, no, no. You have to work twice as hard. The Bruins, Pasta almost cost him the game last night because he gets on the power play and he just gets lackadaisical with the puck. He gets stripped. I think it was Reinhardt goes in, could have scored an easy goal there, but thank goodness for Jeremy Swayman. But yeah, let's jump to the Bruins, Tim. Game one last night. Must win for the Boston Bruins. Down 3-1, Florida Panthers, all the momentum. The Bruins come through clutch. Jeremy Swayman predicted a win. He said, we're going to go to Florida, we're going to get a win, then we're going to come back to Boston. He's like a modern-day Mark Messier. The man, he's a man of his word. They go off, and he was a key part of this win, much like he's been all playoffs. The guy was fantastic. What did you think of this game, Tim?
Yeah, not the prettiest game for a Bruins fan, but they get the win, which is huge. I think the two simple factors for this one was A, Swayman. Yep. He saved your bacon a couple of times, including that save on Reinhardt at the very end was just outstanding. And then the second half of this win was just, and this is what I tweeted yesterday morning, all I was looking for out of Boston was a full 60-minute effort. I think they've won the first period the last three or four games now, not only in scoring, but like in just dominance and the way they've played. And then over the course of the game, Panthers crawl back and they get their goal and the tying goal and then they win it or whatever. So they were able to hang on this time, which is something they haven't been able to do in a few games. So that was really good to see. Charlie McAvoy, I think his best game in a while, not only for the goal he scored, but some of the defense he played and logged a ton of minutes, a couple of long shifts at the end of the game. I think probably, you know, not super exciting, encouraging game, but a win is a win. And now we're heading back to Boston with a chance to tie up the series.
I feel like it was a playoff game more than the other games. Both teams are playing it really tight to the vest, especially the Bruins. I don't think they were as aggressive as they have been in games past on the physical side of it, and that helped them. I've been saying this for a while now. The Bruins just need to be less trying to make that big hit. Marchand seemed to be going out of his way, try to blow guys up. McAvoy seems to be going out of his way a lot, and you put yourself in tough positions, and I feel like he was more composed. He played great. Yeah, he played fantastic. So another issue for the Bruins, Tim.
Too many
men. What's going on with them? They like to cheat. Six guys on the ice a lot. Are they leading the league so far in too many men on the ice penalties? They have to be.
They have more than the rest of the league combined.
Isn't that fun?
They have six now, and the rest of the league has five, which is just crazy. You've played 11 games now, and you've got six too many men on the ice calls. It's inexcusable. This one, I think, was more in the players, but at the end of the day, it's still a team issue. It's still a coaching issue. I don't know what Montgomery's done behind closed doors. I'm sure he's yelled at them all about this after the second or third one. So why is it still happening? I don't know. But Yeah, not good, especially when, you know, I mean, the Panthers, they've done a pretty good job like containing the Panthers power play, and they went 0-for-2 or 0-for-3 last night. But that's not like a risk you want to continue taking as the series goes on.
It's one of those things where you have to just, when you're in minor hockey, okay, we're going to work on changing now. Everybody on the bench. So you got to get ready to jump over the boards. Who's coming in? But I think the reason they're getting too many men is a transition game for the Panthers. It's just they're shoving it down their throat so fast. The D's trying to change. He realizes they're coming at him. He goes back. The D-man who's changing for him is already on the ice, and the same goes for the forward. So that's what does it. If you don't get the puck deep in the other team's zone, they're able to transition, catch you sleeping. Everybody panics, like, oh, we got to get back. And then you have 6-7 guys on the ice. So that's what's happening there. The Bruins are bad on their dumps. They're not being disciplined, and it's costing them. So they need to clean it up. Going into game 6, that's going to be a fun one because this is payback time. This happened last year. Are people in Boston talking about it? You're still connected there. Is Gronk saying anything?
Yeah. The boys were all in the group chat. Me, Gronk, Brady, Ortiz. Yeah. I think I'm going to say, and I haven't done this yet in this series, I think Bruins are going to win game 6. I think we go to 7. I've been kind of down on them, and I still don't think we've seen a great game from them since game 1. And the last game that was a great game before that was game 2 of Toronto. So like they've only had a couple of like really good performances, even though they won a handful of these games. So I feel like we're due for another one of those. Hopefully Marchand comes back. He skated with the team yesterday morning. He was there at the night. Like he's floating around. He wants to be there. I don't know if he's going to be cleared yet. He's clearly some kind of concussion thing. So if he comes back, that would be huge for them. But I do see the Bruins winning game 6.
If he doesn't come back for game 6 and the Bruins win.
Here we go.
And then he wants to play game 7, a la Austin Matthews and Patrice Bergeron. Do you let him play?
Yes.
Oh, boy. You're a terrible coach.
Oh, my God. Yes, of course you do. Here's a question. If Demko is ready for game 7,
no.
Which is where he's, you don't put him in?
100% no. Not a chance. No. Especially goalie? No way. That's why you would be a terrible coach. Even to entertain that, Tim, is just ludicrous.
That's what people are talking about.
I was just thinking, you bring up Brady, you bring up Gronk and Ortiz. If these guys were in downtown Boston, North End, okay, which one draws the biggest crowd? Paul Pierce, Zdeno Chara, Rob Gronkowski, or David Ortiz? Four of them. All four major sports. Who is everyone going to?
That's a good one. They're all so good. I would say probably Pierce. The reason I say that is because he was around for the longest of those four. He was there in the late 90s. You know what I mean? Yeah. So he was around for a long time, won the championship. Wow. They'd all draw equal crowds. If I had to pick one, I'd say Pierce.
I thought he would have been last.
Well, my first guess was maybe Big Gronk. Z, just more people could see Chara, you know? But yeah, no, they're all going to draw a huge
crowd. What if I replace Gronk with Brady?
Yeah, Brady. I mean, there's no winning here.
What about Belichick?
Who would you think?
I would think Gronk.
Yeah.
Probably Gronk, Pierce, Ortiz, and Chara last.
Yeah, it's impossible to know. That's a good question.
We'll never know. What if you and I were standing on a corner? Do you think anybody would notice? Probably not. That's funny. All right, let's stay out west here. We got some controversy. The Avs and Stars having a fantastic series so far. Dallas obviously taking it to them last game. I think we can give the Colorado Avalanche a pass for this. You come to the rink. You're ready to play. It's game 4. Must win. You're down 2-1. You're locked in, baby. You get to the rink. All of a sudden, Your goal scorer, Val Nichushkin, the guy who's been fantastic for you this playoffs especially, he's suspended without pay. You don't get paid in the playoffs, but for the next season, for a minimum of 6 months for violating the NHL Player Assistant Program, stage 3. So stage 1 is a slap on the wrist. Stage 2, I think you go in. Stage 3 is okay. You're not listening. You're still being a bad boy. We're suspending you for at least 6 months, and you got to get your act together. Sources say Nichushkin recently failed a drug test. He missed playoff games last year, if you remember, Tim, because they were in Seattle and 911 was called. There was a girl in his room who was unresponsive, very suspicious situation. She was saying, he took my passport, this and that, intoxicated at like 10 a.m. in the morning. Super classy stuff. So I don't know the ins and outs of this year, but in my eyes, if you're failing a drug test, it's got to be a little more than marijuana, because I know how the NHL substance abuse thing works. I've been tested many, many times. You don't really test for marijuana. It's the big stuff they're looking for. A lot of guys partake in marijuana. Not a lot of guys, but some. This guy's getting blown up for something other than that. In my opinion, let me stress that. I don't know anything. In my opinion, Jack Johnson and the coach had comments and all these other players. We just hope he's okay. Rightfully so. You know, he's our brother. We want to take care of him, blah, blah, blah. I totally get it. Jack Johnson, I think, had the clearest and just most honest comment. Jack Johnson said this, quote, he made his decisions. That's all I'm going to say on that. He made his decisions, end quote. Love it. Basically, you turned your back on the team. You're worried about yourself. You made your decisions. You're dead to me, kid. Like that. It says a lot, even though it's not a long quote. Everybody else is being peace, you know, politically correct. But poor, you know, we're really concerned about him. Not a chance, man. You've had your chances. This is strike three. You're gone. He'll never play again in Colorado in my eyes. They're going to look to terminate his contract if they can. You let your team down 2 years in a row. And I know maybe he's got some issues and this and that. There's no excuse. You're second round of the playoffs. You can win the Stanley Cup and you're snorting. You're doing stuff. What did you think, Tim?
Yeah, my first reaction was shock. I didn't know that, right? Like 6 months, and I didn't realize the tiered structure of the player relief assistance program. I think he has to, like, he doesn't automatically get qualified again. He has to appeal and pass certain hearings or whatever to get reinstated. So that was a lot. And then my first reaction was like, okay, this is a big blow to the Avalanche, obviously. They also didn't have Devin Toews last night. And then you see those quotes from Bednar and some of the other players, McCarr, you know, we're thinking about him. That's what's most important. Like you said, I really like this from Jack Johnson, because what it does, it reveals so much unspoken behind the scenes. And what it says to me, again, just my opinion, he said, man, he got so many chances to turn this around and he didn't. It doesn't scream like this is a guy who's really suffering from abuse and things like that. It screams someone who got the opportunities, did not take it, kept following whatever vice he was struggling with, and made his choices. So it shows the disappointment and the frustration and probably even a little feeling of betrayal that you let us down. So yeah. I'm putting a lot of words into Jack Johnson's mouth that he didn't say, but that's how I read that.
And people have addictions. I get it. They're very hard to deal with, you know? So I don't think that's an issue. I just think he's an idiot, Valanciunas. I think he just, you know, is worried about himself. He wants to go out and have a good time. And maybe he does have a slight addiction, but you got to address it. You got to figure it out. You can't, I guess you can, but it's just poor timing going into game four. So he's out. Devin Toews is out for an injury, and you could see it on the ice. The Avalanche were checked out. They go out, they lose 5-1. The shots were 22-4 at one point for the Dallas Stars. The Avalanche fought back a little bit to make it respectable, but it was a one-sided affair. And I think the best thing to say about this is the Avalanche are done. That's it. I feel like just with Valanciunas being out, Devin Toews being out, and the biggest factor in this is the Stars have shut down their top guys. What do the top guys have, Tim, for the Avalanche?
In the last three games, so not counting game one where McCarr had 4 points or whatever, McCarr is 0 points in the last three games, minus six. MacKinnon, one assist, minus six. Rantanen, one goal, zero assists, minus five. They're all playing a ton of minutes. They're just getting suffocated.
Yep.
And a lot of it has to do with the team defense, but a lot of it has to do with just the offensive zone time of the Stars. And even like it was a shorthanded goal. Where Wyatt Johnson picked McCarr's pocket in the offensive zone of all people. He picked McCarr's pocket, turned it into a shorthanded goal after a little melee in front of the net. You can see McKinnon smash his stick on the ice. He's frustrated. They're all frustrated. And the Stars are just so deep. You talked about it on Monday. Like, you look at the second, third, fourth lines, there's just no matchup here.
Yeah.
The Stars are just that much better. And yeah, they're shutting down the Avalanche players. So it's really great to see.
And then because I like to dump on Toronto, which is just fun for me, Wyatt Johnson, at age, well, I think he's 21 now. I think he just had his birthday to turn 21. He scored his 11th goal in playoffs in 30 games. And just to put this in context, Wyatt Johnson is 20. He has 11 goals in 30 games, and I like to just stick it to the Leafs. Mitch Marner has 11 goals in 57 games. And keep this in mind, Wyatt Johnson last year was not getting primo time. You know, he was more a supplementary piece. Yeah, he's getting first line minutes now, but last year he wasn't. So suck on that one, Mitch Marner. How do you like them apples? All right, moving on. We're staying in the East. New York Rangers, Carolina Hurricanes. Let's touch on this briefly. Tim, Carolina won their second game in a row.
Yeah, they did.
Are the Rangers sphincters starting to tighten just a little bit?
They have to be. And I didn't really watch a ton of this game, so I can't speak to the X's.
How dare you?
Yeah. But I will say, yeah, I think it's probably time for the Rangers and their, maybe not the players, just because that's not how they operate. But if you're rooting for this team, you're starting to get a little bit nervous because Carolina's got some momentum. Game six is at home in Carolina. We said the other day, I like this to go seven, and I'm sticking with that.
Yeah, it's getting real close, and the Rangers have just fallen off. They haven't been able to figure out their power play struggled last game. Their 5-on-5 was just not very good. Carolina looks solid. They looked really, really good, and it's not the top guys scoring. It's not the Ahos. It's not the Gensels. It's not those guys. It's Jordan Staal. It's Kuznetsov. It's Martinook. It's the secondary cast. So don't look now. This deep Carolina Hurricanes team is starting to find its footing. This is going to seven as well. It's the East is starting to look real fun too. It's nice to finally wake up and see some good games out East.
What was your finals prediction?
It was Vegas and Carolina, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah. Mine was Dallas and Carolina. I'm still very much hanging in there.
But I did say, I said Dallas or Vegas, either one, because that's the series that I was really looking at. And we're going to revisit those.
Avalanche over the Stars. So
what's that?
You picked the Avalanche over the Stars. So let's just make that clear.
But I also said Nichushkin was going to win the Selkie. So okay. That one's out the window too. Those Russians. You know what? What do you do with them? They're so talented, but there's just a lot of red flags.
You know what's funny? A few weeks ago, I was thinking about potential trade targets in the offseason for Ullmark, because you got to trade them and go get a top six forward, and you got to commit the money to Swayman. Nichushkin was one of the names I was floating around. I feel like he's a big body. He can score. He plays well, but now I wouldn't touch him.
Well, yeah, Tim, he's got a drug habit. No kidding.
Excuse me personally, but I don't want him on my team anymore.
Yeah, no, I don't think that would be a good fit. All right, Tim, who is this Quick Hits brought to you by?
The Quick Hits are brought to you by our friends at Wendy's. Frozen pucks are awesome when they're in the back of the other guy's net, but that doesn't mean that you want to eat one.
Oh my gosh, it's so bad.
That's why Wendy's only
writes this crap.
Fresh beef that's never been inside the freezer in all of their burgers. Whether you order a Baconator, Dave's Single, or even a JBC, you'll only ever find real fresh beef that's real juicy and loaded with fresh toppings. So download the Wendy's app, check out the latest deals, and order a burger that's only job is being delicious.
Oh, yeah. That's an interesting ad read if I've ever heard one.
That is really an ad read.
The spectrum of just everything. Frozen pucks, touch on the hockey. You'll only ever find real fresh beef that's real juicy and loaded with fresh toppings. That could be taken a lot of different ways. I don't even want to get into that. But all right, let's get to the Quick Hits. We're not going to have Wendy's again as a sponsor. They're going to hear that and just no thank you. But they are delicious. They're delicious hamburgers. So go out and get some Wendy's, 100%. All right, Tim. Jacob Trouba. Yeah. He was awarded the Mark Messier Leadership Award for 23-24. Are they gaslighting us on this one? Is that what's happening?
Here's what it says. He best exemplified great leadership qualities on his team on and off the ice. Yeah, he's great at leading with his elbow.
Boom. It's very funny that they pick him.
I know he does a lot of charity work, but yeah, that's what that stuff tends to cover. You know,
this guy's put more people in the hospital than like any other player in the last 10 years. Like, he buries people, but they're all clean.
Him and Rempe, teammates.
Oh, Rempe. They need him back on the ice, I think, to clean up that Carolina game.
That's a good call. Who do you take out? I don't know.
Anybody. He's not doing. Who cares? Anything. Take out Kako. He sucks. All right. So the status of the series. We got a 3-2. We got a 3-2. We got a 2-2. We got a 3-1. Which the first series that's going to be over? Dallas, Colorado, probably.
Yeah, I think that's the one game tonight. I think the Stars put this one away.
You would think so. I think Devin Toews plays a part in this. If he's going to play, we don't know. But yeah, it's a tough hill for the Avalanche. They just a lot of distractions going on there. But they got the horses. McKinnon, I wouldn't bet against him.
This is just my opinion. I'm really kind of sticking myself up there. But I think Dallas is going to win this series.
You just the kiss of death.
People actually, they want you to pick the other team because you have really bad luck with these series picks.
You honestly do, but I agree. I think Dallas will win the series. I want Colorado to eke one out, make it a little closer. 3-2 coming into the home stretch. All right, everybody, we're in the home stretch here. Thank you for joining us here on a little quicker episode of Dropping the Gloves, kind of a recap. Sometimes they're shorter, Tim. You know what I mean? They can't all be 45 minutes. This is a nice length. But anyways, thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll talk to you on Friday. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.